Mr. Leary, Reel 1. Now, Mr. Leary, I'd like to start off by talking to you about how you came to join the Royal Navy in September 1913. What were the circumstances that surrounded it?
That took me into the Royal Navy.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, as I had been working at Mothers and Platts, and I didn't like the running of the place there. It was a lot of dampness, and I had about 3 miles to walk to the railway station and about half an hour on the train. And it was winter time when they transferred from Salford to these new premises at Newton Heath. And I used to get soaking wet many a time, especially going home from work. And my father had got me this job, and of course it was a good job at Mothers and Platts, learning engine smithing. Now, engine smithing, blacksmith engine smithing, is not to be a farrier like shoeing horses. It's making parts of engines, forgings. And I was pretty good at it, and I enjoyed the work very much. And the foreman was very interested in me. And when I told him that I was fed up, I was going to get employment somewhere near a home, as it was too far for me to come. Well, he begged and prayed of me to stay on, but I didn't care about it. Any road, I packed up. I then got employment with a firm down Trafford Park, a big engineering firm, American firm they were, called British Western House. Now, British Western House made everything from, you may say, a pin to a steam engine. There was several thousands worked there. And I was working there as an improved engine smith. I worked there for a period of a few months, and then the depression came on, and so many had to be sacked, stopped. As I was one of the last in, I was one of the first out. So I was paid up, and I could not get a job. Although, mind you, I didn't tell my parents that I had been sacked, because my father got me the employment at Mothers and Platts, and I shook the job up on my own initiative, and I didn't like saying anything about it. So I used to go out to work of a morning from home. My parents used to think that I was going to work, and I then was with a few lads about my own age that used to hang about a street corner, and one of them said, "Oh, I'm going to join the Navy in the morning." I said, "Oh?" He said, "Hey, will you come with me?" I said, "I'll come with you, I've nothing else to do." So I went with him on to Deansgate, Manchester recruiting office.
At that point, was there no other reason than the fact that your mate had suggested it to you that you actually joined up?
I had no intentions of really joining the Navy.
Had you ever...
It was just to go with him, so to pass the time away.
Had you ever thought about the Navy at all?
No. I was in the Royal Engineers, the Territorials.
Yeah.
I was a sapper in them, and I had no intentions of joining the Navy. I thought I'd go with him to pass the time away.
Yeah. What did you have any views or thoughts or feelings at all about the Royal Navy before you joined up?
No, but...
What did you think of the senior service?
There was a lot of, you know, then at that time, it was a lot of propaganda, you see, about Germany having going without butter to buy tanks and all this lot. There was a proper lot of propaganda in them days. And there used to be advertising. It was all no compulsory joining then days. You just volunteered. But I had no intentions, but I thought I'd go with this chap. just to see what it was like and more to pass the time away.
I wonder if he'd said to you, I'm off to join the army tomorrow, whether you'd have gone then.
Oh, definitely no. No, and if I'd have gone to join the army, I'd ain't show my face home again.
Well, why was the Navy okay and the Army not?
Well, in them days, people used to look down on the Army and look upwards more to the Navy. Because the people joining the Army used to be more of the, I don't like saying it, but the very low grade of people in them days.
And what kind of people went into the Navy?
Well, you couldn't just get into the Navy if you had a bad character or anything like that, because when I went with this chap to join the Navy, the recruiting officer said, what do you two want? And I said, he's come to join the Navy. He stood there a bit, and I said, he's come to join the Navy, and I've come with him. Oh, he said, well, go on, have a look round. So, and after a bit, he said, all right, both get stripped and get in there and have a bit of a shower bath. So we went in there and had a shower bath, and he said, all right, get your clothes on. The doctor will be here in a bit. So, and he rode the doctor come and had a look at us, and then he said, yes, you're all right. Now he said, are you working? I said, no, I'm not working at present. So he said, well, where have you been working? I said, British Western House down Trafford Park. He said, took what I was doing. So he said, what would you like to be in the Navy? I said, oh, I said, blacksmith. So he said, all right, well, he said, you'll have to wait here some time. I'll have to go to the British Western House and get in, see them there to see that you are not working. So eventually he come back and he said to, like, the other recruiting office, he said, yes, everything's quite right. He got sacked there because on account of this redundancy business and all that. So, well, I thought, now it's gone so far and I'm not working and I'm in a bit of a jam with not telling my parents, I'll let it go and see what happens. So he said, all right, you'll be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And he gave us, I think it was half a crown or something like that each, 2 and 6 pence in them days. So the next morning, we're there at 8 o'clock, not knowing that what was happening. We had to be there at 8 o'clock. And I said, oh, all right, you two, come on. And we goes to Central Station in Manchester, and he puts us on the train for Plymouth. Well, I had a good home, and I didn't know what to do. So any road down to Plymouth we go.
One thing which interests me is that all this happened so quickly, and it seems that as soon as you had arrived, they automatically assumed that you were a recruit and you were just put through the drill. So the recruiting officer didn't actually give you any sort of speech about what a great thing it was to join the Navy and what the advantages were and things like that.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I was under the impression I was going into the Navy as a blacksmith, but as I was saying, we got to Plymouth about 5 o'clock in the evening. Devonport Barracks to be... No, it wasn't. It was North Road, Plymouth Station, railway station. And we got out of the train and a couple of naval police came along. They said, are you the two lads from Manchester? Yes. Oh, all right, come along with us. And we was put into like a bit of a jeep and taken up to the barracks at Keyham, Devonport. That would be, maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. Now
we got to Keyham Barracks. What happened to you on arrival there?
On arriving in the barracks, we was allotted to a mess in C Block.
Before you describe your mess, could you give me a rough idea of what Keown Barracks was like, how big it was, and how it was laid out?
Well, Keown Barracks is quite close to Devonport Dockyard. You can walk out of the barracks into the dockyard. And the barracks consisted of four blocks, A, B, C, and D. And they were what you might call three story. There was the basement, the ground floor, and a floor over in each block. Now,
and all the blocks were laid out identically?
All the blocks was laid out in a kind of a square. And in the middle of the block, in the middle space, there was a big canteen that had hold, maybe 1,000 people. Big stage on it and a big long bar where the sailors could go during dinner time and night time and get your pint of beer and like that. And as I was saying, we was allotted to one of these messes, same as it might be, number 8 mess. Now in one of these blocks...
Now you just started to tell me about your block.
You want to go on there?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, C block. We was allotted, this chap and I, to, it might have been number 8 mess. Inside this room that we'd been allotted number 8 mess, there could be, maybe 20 or 24 messes in this room. And each mess consisted of one long table, about 12 foot long, about 2 foot 6 wide, and covered with a bit of this old felting business.
Can I just get this clear a minute? You said there was 20 to 24 messes all in the same room.
Yes.
And how many men would mess together?
Well, they could be somewhere about 20 or 24. It all depended how many was being brought into the barracks at the time, as they had to be put somewhere, so they used to allocate them and balance them out to try and keep the same amount in each mess as near as possible.
So there could be as many as 400 people in one large room?
There could be. And there were stanchions all along and girders with hooks on where they used to sling the hammocks up. There was no bunks or anything in them days. You was allotted with a hammock and one blanket and a small kind of a palliass that fitted in it, but only very thin. And as I was saying, you might be allotted to number 8 mess. Well, you'd go in and you'd find number 8 mess, and you'd say to anybody, "Do you know who's in charge of number 8 mess?" And say, "Oh, maybe that leading hand over there." Leading hand, you see, he's like a kind of a charge hand, like a foreman in civilian life.
How big were these rooms then?
They must have been rooms. Well, they would be 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 foot long. And they could be...
Within this large room where there were 20 messes, how were the messes arranged?
There would be the even mount on either side. And in the middle, along the middle, used to be a big place where they used to store their hammocks in the daytime. Your hammock had to be lashed up with 7 lashings round it and stored neatly away with your name on your hammock, showing that when you went for it of a night time, well, you'd find your hammock. Now, if your hammock wasn't neatly lashed up and you stored it in there when you comforted of a night time, oh, you'd find your blanket somewhere and your palliasse somewhere else and all jumbled up. Because, as I'm telling you, there used to be these stacks in the middle, which was either two of these places for stacking these hammocks in the daytime, or three. I can't just remember whether it was two or three.
Well, you've described for me the very large room with all the 20 messes in it.
Yes.
Let's concentrate on your mess and get a few details of that.
Right.
There were about 20 men in your mess, were there?
There would be about 20. There could be more.
Yes.
It all depends on how many would have been. Mm-hmm. If a ship paid off, we'll say a battleship or a battle cruiser, and they was all, well, they don't send them all because they keep a maintenance party aboard, but the majority of them are all sent into barracks. Well, the barracks gets flooded out. Well, if a couple of them ships pay off at the same time, just think how it fills the barracks up.
Yes. Well, let's